In my day, White House interns were just there to take stenography in shorthand. When did they suddenly start providing all these other services to the president? It's the same old story, I suppose. I was born at the wrong time. If I had lived 1,000 years earlier, they never could have gotten me out of office without a revolution. Nobody ever tried to impeach Genghis Khan. I'd like to have been a ladybug on the wall for that one. And if I'd been born 100 years later, wiretapping would have been as American as all those email tracking devices that the clones of Bill Gates are going to use to keep tabs on everyone on the planet.
Nixon, what are you going on about now?
Hey, Jack, I was just taking a gander at the old homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that White House interns provide oral sex now?
Yeah, so?
So it's all in the timing, Jack. I remember this young lass, Lucy Marino was her name. She was working in the Oval Office for her college credits while she attended Washington State. And I walked up to her, patted her on the lower part of her back, and said, Lucy, dear, would you make me a cup of Joe, light cream, 2 lumps of sugar? And she turned to me with her pearl drops, tooth polish smile glaring in my eyes, and her liberated braless nipples pointed under my nose, and said, Mr. President, we don't make coffee anymore. Haven't you heard of the women's movement?
And your point is?
My point is, can you imagine how she would have responded if I'd asked her for a little oral sex?
Oh, yes, I can't imagine. Unfortunately, that's all about I can do these days. Imagine and remember. We had at least 4 new interns come in every 3 months, all female, all handpicked by my personal woman taster. And all ripe, anxious, and as wide-eyed as they were wide-mouthed, if you get my meaning.
Don't tell me, Jack. Your interns didn't give you,
My interns, my receptionists, the White House tour guides, the Smithsonian librarians, my manicurists, you name it.
You had a manicurist, Jack?
I had many a manicurist, Nixon. You don't think I'd let my constituents see all the dirt under my nails the way that you always did.
That's not funny, Jack. I know I wasn't as well groomed as you, but I was born in the house that my father built with his own 2 hands. I didn't have any silver spoons feeding me little fish eggs when I was a lad. If I wanted to have breakfast, many was the morning I had to go out and steal my eggs right out from under the ass of the local farmer's chicken. And as I would make my way home, I could never quite get over the feeling that a big hen was following me, about to pounce on my head from behind to take back her unfertilized ovum.
Yes, I know, and you carry those feelings of paranoia with you through your whole life.
Paranoia. That's an interesting word, coming from a man who was led to the slaughter by some of his closest colleagues. That Beetlejuice hippie, John Lennon, he used to say I was paranoid too, and he got shot in his own backyard by some malcontent who just bought his latest record album. Anwar Sadat, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, they all used to call me paranoid.
Now that I think about it, my brother Bobby used to say you were paranoid too.
See? There's a lot to be said for unfounded suspicion and irrational distrust. If you'd spent more time looking over your shoulder and less time looking at the top of some young concubine's head, you might not be here right now.
Hey, at least when I died, I was able to say that I lived.
Why didn't you ever tell me, Jack? Why'd you let me go through my whole career without ever knowing that White House assistants provided the president with oral sex?
It's never been written in the intern's job description, Nixon. I think a couple of those ladies might have actually been seduced by my looks, my charms, and my great body. The fact that I was rich and was the president simply allowed them to have their souffle and feast on it, too.
Still, it would have been nice to have known about it. Even if I couldn't get any for myself, at least I could have used the fact that you were getting it as a way of smearing you in the 1960 election.
Everybody knew that I was getting it, but nobody could prove anything. None of my women would ever talk against me. They liked what I was giving them too much. What I know that this president doesn't is when women are kept happy, they keep their mouths shut. Except when you want their mouths open, of course. Ha ha.
How'd you keep them happy, Jack? Did you bring them wafers and daffodils and fancy gold ankle chains?
Are you kidding? That superficial stuff does not stop women from blabbing to their friends. You have to keep them satisfied. Then they'll be quiet. My motto with the ladies has always been, ask not what your cunt can do for you. Ask what you can do for your cunt.
I don't get it, Jack.
Do I have to spell anything out for you, Nixon? Give her a little oral sex from time to time. That'll keep her in line. Then she'll keep getting back in line so she can get some more.
Now, you gave women oral sex, Jack. Now, how'd you do that? I mean, they don't even have doodahs that you can put in your mouth.
Nixon, you're a hopeless case.
Still, I wish I had known this was all going on. I'm sure it could have helped me in the election somehow.
Nothing could have helped you, Nixon. My father bought me that election. Didn't matter what you did, what you said, or what people thought about me.
Your father bought you the election? Now, I'd heard talk about that, but I never believed it. I refused to let myself imagine that you, of all people, would do anything illegal or immoral.
Hey, it's better than blacklisting or public character assassination. You remember how you won your first seat in Congress back in 1947?
You mean when I sat with a phone book and called every single person in my district to let them know that my opponent was a communist?
That's right. The whole thing sounds unbelievable and comical in retrospect, but then again, in 50 years, do you think anyone's going to believe what they're doing to this poor president today?
What I don't believe is that your family actually fixed that election. I mean, people expected that sort of thing from me. But how could you be a party to something like that? I always thought you were such an honest and noble man, Jack.
I was being noble. I mean, it's not like I ousted Lincoln or Jefferson. By fixing the 1960 election, I saved the country from having you as president. At least temporarily. A lot of people think that's the most noble thing I ever did.
You still don't get it, Jack. You were like a champion to me. For a long time, we seemed to lead parallel lives, Jack. But you were always the pretty boy, and I was always the ugly boy. When we came up to Congress together, you symbolized the young, good-looking, bright, idealistic young statesman that the jaded old politicians liked to believe they'd once been, while I represented the crooked, shifty-eyed scoundrel that none of them wanted to acknowledge was their actual self. In a way, I was kind of glad you won the election in 1960. Showed me that there was still some hope, some idealism left.
Hold on a minute. You can't stand here and tell me that you wanted to lose the 1960 election. One of the rules in this level of post-life existence is that we have to state what is. We're not capable of telling even small white lies.
Oh, is that why my tongue keeps snapping to the back of my head every time I try to get a word out? Well, I guess it's kind of the opposite of life in Washington, huh, Jack?
Now you're catching on.
Of course I wanted to win, not only for my own power, but also to prove I was the acceptable candidate. And you were just some mythical figure from Camelot who had no place in the real world of Washington politics. But another part of me, the untainted young man deep inside, wanted desperately to believe that the man with integrity, who had right on his side, would ultimately come out on top. Why do you think I never called up any of the voters to tell them that you were a communist? Why, Walter Winchell might have badmouthed you in his column every day, but I truly admired you too much to use any of the dirty tactics that would become my signature style. Now, after all that, to find out that you were as corrupt and immoral as me.
Now, hold on a minute. I am starting to take offense here. I might have done what I had to do to get where I wanted to go, but there was a line I drew, and I never once crossed it.
Oh, and what line was that, Jack?
The line of humanity. The line between what I felt was slightly immoral and what I knew were atrocities. I kept us out of a war in Cuba. If they'd have let me live a couple of more months, we would have had all our boys out of Vietnam, too. I would never stay in a war and let young people get sacrificed for my own political gains the way that you did.
Oh, excuse me, Jack, but now I'm taking offense. I was always raised to believe that war was a necessity under certain circumstances. I never knew any differently. I didn't get us into Vietnam, I inherited it. But once I was there, I had to win. That was the American way, the only way that I was ever taught. Protesters like Abby Hoffman, Tom Hayden, even those poor students at Kent State, were the villains in the world that I grew up in, and war heroes like old General Mashed Potato Head were considered the greatest man alive.
Is that really what you used to call Eisenhower?
You never knew that?
I heard rumors to that effect.
He was the dumbest president we ever had. You ever try to have a conversation with him?
I know. It was like talking to mashed potatoes.
I remember the first time that you came up to meet us, Jack. The look on your face. It was as if you couldn't imagine how a man that dumb could be president.
Actually, what I was thinking was, if a dope like him and a slime ball like you could make it on the ticket, LBJ and I were a shoo-in.
But he was a great warrior, Jack. And people loved and respected great warriors.
You know, I grew up thinking that war heroes were great people, too. Till my brother Joe died. No family should have to go through that. Made me really see how precious human life is. If even one child dies in a war, then I don't see how we could ever really claim a true victory.
I know, Jack. I lost two brothers, too, when I was growing up. And I don't think I ever loved anybody more than I loved them. But I think it had the opposite effect on me. I think it made me see how expendable we all are. Any one of us could just disappear tomorrow, and it wouldn't make one damn bit of difference in the grand scheme of things.
Probably didn't help your paranoia either, did it?
No, probably not.
You know, I always wished I could sit down with my brother and my sister, tell them about my life, find out the kind of people they would have become if they'd had the chance to get older. And I'd give anything to be able to spend an hour talking to John and Caroline.
Your children grew up to be fine people, Jack. I felt terrible when I heard what happened to young John.
Live fast, die young. Leave a good-looking picture in the history books. Mm. If you had your choice, would you rather be remembered as John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, or Ted Kennedy?
I see your point, Jack. Teddy is kind of an old schlub these days, and he has more chins than China.
Tell me about it.
You really feel that way, Jack? Would you rather have died when you were young and vibrant like you did than when you were old and decrepit like me?
You were born old and decrepit, Nixon. And yes, I have to feel that way. Otherwise, I'd never be able to get through all these heartbreaks, especially this last one. You know, everybody thought that all my father cared about was power. Maybe that was true early in his life. But toward the end, I think he would have traded away all his money and lived as a homeless man on the street if he could have had a few more years with even one of the four children that he lost.
You can see him now, can't you, Jack? You could spend time with your father and your brothers and your sister and John and anyone else who's passed from the other world, can't you? I mean, this is heaven, isn't it?
Heaven? Nixon, you really are ignorant, aren't you? Do you honestly think they would have put John Kennedy and Richard Nixon in the same section if we were in heaven?